Hello and welcome to the So What podcast, in which political economic analyst JP Lantman discusses the issues uppermost in the minds of South Africans. You can find a written version of this content on JP's website, jplantman.co.za. I am Ruda Lantman, and I am your host. This conversation goes with JP's newsletter dated the 4th of April, 2025, and titled South Africa's Water Crisis and the Reform Agenda. JP, your first point is that we as South Africans don't have water to waste, but we do. What are the facts behind that?
Yeah, indeed. South Africa is one of the 30 driest countries in the world. Now, if you consider that there are more than 190 countries in the world, it gives you a clear idea where we fit in. It's a dry country, and we're dependent on irregular and intermittent rainfall. Why do I say we waste it? Because our average consumption per person in South Africa is running at 233 liters per day per person, per capita consumption, 233. The global average is 173. In Gauteng alone, just that province, our consumption is approaching 300 liters per person per day. So consumer awareness about water in South Africa is very, very low, and that will certainly have to change. One of the contributing factors is, of course, the fact that the water is so cheap. If it was the cost of wine or beer, then we wouldn't waste it like that. But the fact remains, our consumption per person per day is way above the global average.
But there's also something called non-revenue water. What is that, and how do we score on that?
We score badly. First, what is it? It's water which is billed to municipalities and which municipalities distribute, but for which no income is coming in. And that sits at 47% of total water supply. That's a very huge percentage. And again, it's almost half. And again, it's way above the global average. For middle-income countries like South Africa, that number is sitting at about 30%. In some countries, it's higher. For example, in Mexico, it's sitting at between 40 and 50%. In Kenya, Nairobi, it's sitting at 45%. So for South Africa, to sit at 47% is a high percentage.
And that's burst pipes and that kind of thing?
Or it's burst where does pipes, it go? It's burst pipes, it's illegal connections or theft, of which there's a lot all over society, from residences, from farms, from factories, where people don't actually pay for the water that they extract. So there are a variety of reasons, but I think the main one would be poor maintenance and poor infrastructure. Actually, the infrastructure is not that poor, but poorly maintained infrastructure. That is what's causing a lot of the non-revenue water.
Well, at least these days we do know what's going on. There are the so-called drop reports, the blue drop, green drop, no drop reports. They were introduced in 2008, but they were suspended under the Zuma administration in 2014 and then reinstated in 2022 by Cyril Ramaphosa's government. What do they show us?
It goes to the fundamental point that what you measure, you can manage. And if you don't have those reports, well, then you can't manage the problem. The blue drop report measures water quality. Is the water that comes out of your tap safe, and does it meet all the standards for water to be consumed? Now, in South Africa, 52% of water treatment systems failed or barely passed the quality test. They didn't score. Even if they passed, they didn't score very high. 48% of water distribution systems were found to be okay. There's no risk there. It's fine. So it's a story of two halves. That's blue water. It's the quality of water. No drop is non-revenue water, which we have just discussed. And it reveals in South Africa 47% losses. And interestingly enough, that's up from 35% in 2014 when the publication of the reports were suspended. And probably if we didn't suspend the publication, we could have managed the problem earlier. And then the last one is green drop, and that measures wastewater treatment. The report found that 64% of wastewater plants are at a high or critical risk of discharging untreated or partially treated water into the environment. So those three reports helps us to understand what's going on, and one can now manage the situation better.
Not a pretty picture.
No.
But how does the system work? How does water get from, say, the Vaal Dam or Steenbras or Theewaterskloof in the Western Cape to the consumer?
It starts with strategic water areas, which we find in South Africa in five provinces. Four provinces have got no strategic water areas, so you've got to distribute water to them. How does that work? First of all, these strategic water areas feed water into dams. The Vaal River that you've mentioned, Bergrivier Dam in the Western Cape and so on. The dams get filled from the strategic water sources, and the dams are run by the Department of Water and Sanitation, and that is what one can call the beginning of the system. Then we have seven water boards in the country. There used to be 15, but they have been rationalized to only seven. Those seven water boards distribute water. They are basically what you can call wholesalers. They distribute water to the country's municipalities. And the municipalities form the third level. Now, here we must distinguish between two things. Municipalities are water services authorities. That's the mandate that was given to them in the Constitution. They're responsible for ensuring that the citizens in his municipality has got access to water. It's a constitutional obligation. But then most municipalities have also taken on the duty of a water service provider, which actually runs the pipes and the taps in a particular municipality.
So there's a water services authority, which has the responsibility to make a plan. And then there's the water services provider. But it doesn't have to be the same entity.
It doesn't have to be, but in practice it is. It mostly is. And that's one of the areas where change is now going to take place, where you separate the authority from the provider. The authority is a constitutional thing, and it's a political responsibility to citizens. Provider is the technical function, to get water out, to maintain the system, and to collect the money for selling water.
So let's take it from the top. What's happening with bulk water supply?
Quite a lot has actually happened, and in Appendix A to the document, there's quite a list detailing the projects that we've had since 1994 and ongoing projects right at the moment. Right now, government has committed about 150 billion rand to 11 big water projects all over the country in the provinces where there are strategic water supply sources. The biggest one is, of course, the Lesotho Highlands Water Scheme Phase 2. Phase 1 was completed in respectively 1996 and 2003. Phase 2 was supposed to be completed already, but corruption allegations in the Zuma time, plus, of course, COVID, plus the fact that you had to resettle communities in Lesotho from land which will now be covered by water, delayed that project. But I must say, again, the Ramaphosa administration has succeeded in getting that thing going. And currently, there are three big construction works ongoing. It's the building of the Polyakli Dam. It's the building of a tunnel to transfer water from Polyakli to the Katse Dam, which is the biggest dam in the system. And it's the building of roads and bridges to service that. And that scheme delivers water to Gauteng. It will be operational on current planning by 2028, and that will enhance the Gauteng water supply system quite considerably. Some of the other provinces, the one where there's the largest number of projects and money is KwaZulu-Natal, both the north and the south coast. There are three big projects on the go there, and I think that will make a big difference to the water supply problems on both the north and the south coast of Natal. And then there are two projects in the Western Cape, there are two projects in Limpopo and so on, but all those details are in Appendix A to the document.
And if we come to the seven water boards, are they functioning well?
One of the reasons why the 15 were rationalized to 7 was precisely to cut wastage and expense and try to get them to function better. The Achilles heel there is municipalities who don't pay. And at the moment, municipalities owe the water boards about 22 billion rand in water that has not been paid for. That's a substantial 151% increase over the last 5 years. And the problem there is that although municipalities receive 62 billion rand annually from National Treasury for water and sanitation projects, not all that money gets spent on water by the local municipality. They spend it on other priorities. So that brings the issue of ring fencing to the fore.
It sounds as if the municipalities really are the weakest link.
No, they absolutely are. There's no question. I think bulk water supply, that's going on. The water boards have been reorganized and they are proceeding. The real problem is the municipalities. That is where things are falling apart. What the drop reports tell us is that in December 2023, there were 144 water service authorities in South Africa, in other words, municipalities which are designated as water service authorities. They run close to 1,000 water systems, 958 to be precise. Only 26 of those 958 systems, that's 3%, achieve blue drop status. I earlier made the point that about 52% of systems either failed or barely passed the quality test, but only 3% got 95% score or scored 95%. So you can see where the problem lies. It lies with the local water systems in various municipalities.
Is it just aging infrastructure?
No, it's not just aging infrastructure. The same reports found that 85% of drinking water systems are of an average or better condition, average or better. So it's not so much the infrastructure that's not working. It's more a question of skills. It's more a question of process flow. It's more a question of maintenance. Maintenance is a very, very big story. Treasury requires that 8% of a budget must be spent on maintenance, but in real life, only about 2%. Get spent on maintenance. So maintenance is really the big problem. Linked to that is simply a lack of management. The Minister of Water, Minister Pemi Majodina, has said in Parliament that her department has given a whole lot of very doable tasks to Johannesburg Water and to other Gauteng municipalities, but that they simply do not respond. The Water Board for Gauteng, Rand Water, which is actually functioning quite well, reported that they had some 40 meetings with Gauteng municipalities to give them practical advice on how to improve water distribution systems, and there's simply been no appropriate reaction. So no, it's not so much the infrastructure as people.
Is there something about this system which could possibly be different to make it better?
Yes, most certainly. And that is where a number of reforms have now been initiated, which should change it, and let's go through them. The first and most important one is a licensing system. I've said earlier that we've discussed the fact that there's a water service authority, which deals with the constitutional obligation, and a water service provider. Legislation has now been amended. It's going through the parliamentary process to compel every water service authority to have a license before they can be a water service provider. And what is the point about the license? The point about the license is certain minimum performance standards and certain achievements that must be maintained by the water service provider. If the water service provider does not meet those license requirements, then the license can be revoked and given to somebody else. And that somebody else can be the for-profit private sector. It can be the not-for-profit private sector, like an NGO or a community-based organization. It can be a different water services authority. There's no limitation. It can go to any licensee that is best placed to deliver the water and fulfill the water provision functions. That's an important change.
Brazil has done this, not so. And what happened?
Absolutely right. Brazil has. They've got similar problems than what we've got. They made this change. It led to a huge influx of private service, water service providers coming in, some for-profit, some not-for-profit. And I've said some community-based and so on. And it led to an improvement in both water and sanitation supply in Brazil. In South Africa, we do have two examples where the water service provider in a municipality is a private entity. The one is Mbombela in Mpumalanga, and the other one is on the Dolphin Coast in the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal. And in both those areas, what we see is very efficient water provision. Water losses have been cut down, so non-revenue water has come down substantially in both cases. Maintenance is being done, and there's a consistent and reliable water supply. So all we really have to do is to expand the Mbombela and Dolphin Coast examples to the rest of the country, and we'll see a substantial improvement.
But that means that municipalities must give up some of their authority or some of their revenue. And municipalities are set in their ways and constitutionally protected. How are they being chivvied along?
That is exactly the problem. They've got a vested interest in the current system and they would like to maintain it. And as I've said earlier, they also get money from National Treasury for a subsidy for the poor, and they use that subsidy for other things like cars and salaries and so on. So yes, the municipalities will have to change their behavior quite considerably. But I think this legislative amendment, forcing them to become a licensee and losing their license, will do a lot to address that. Also, there are currently both carrots and sticks being employed by government. What are the carrots? The carrots are a program that Treasury is running called the Metro Trading Services Reform Program, very long title, which essentially pay incentives to municipalities if they meet certain performance standards. So that's a carrot, and it looks like it's working quite well. Six of the eight metros in the country have bought into this system and are participating in this Treasury framework. And it's all about having better control over what's happening. Another carrot which is being employed is that the Department of Water and Sanitation is now being authorized by changes in legislation that they can take over a water service provider if that water service provider is not doing a proper job. So you take Johannesburg, for example, where Joburg Water is really not functioning well. It is possible, it will be possible once the legislation is passed, for the department to step in and take it over. Those are the carrots.
How far is the legislation?
It's still in the parliamentary process. It takes time to write legislation. You're looking at between 6 months and a year.
You said there were carrots and sticks?
Sticks. The most important stick is, I've now several times we talked about the Treasury's equitable share, which is paid to municipalities and then gets misused. The Treasury in December last year started withholding the transfer of equitable shares to municipalities who are in arrears. There were the usual threats of court cases and so on. You know, South Africa, everybody runs to the courts when they're not happy. But the legal position is quite clear. Treasury has got the authority to do that kind of thing in cases where there's consistent poor performance. So withholding the equitable share is hitting where it's hurt, as you say. And that's an important stick. Another stick is criminal accountability. The Department of Water has started criminally prosecuting municipalities, and 36 cases have been opened against 26 municipalities in six provinces for discharging untreated sewage into public water systems. Of those, four municipalities have been found guilty, and they had to pay a fine over to the government. Those are the main sticks that are around.
We've seen stunning success in involving the private sector in electricity. Are there moves to make that happen with regard to water?
Yes, absolutely. The Department of Water Affairs, with the help of or in partnership with the local government association, SALGA, has created a water partnership office in the Development Bank. And the idea of that water partnership office is to help the municipalities to involve private companies in the provision of water. It's run by Johan Libbe, who's an engineer with about 20 years' experience, and essentially they run six programs. What do they do? First of all, they develop a model of how you can run things in those six areas so that municipalities don't have to reinvent the wheel. In that way, you want to make projects easier and more bankable. If you take care of the admin and you standardize the standards and you standardize the technical requirements and those things, then you can just copy and paste, and it will help to improve projects run. What are the six areas? I think it's important to point them out. It's non-revenue water, which we've already said is one of the biggest problems in the country. It's management contract. It's wastewater treatment. It's the reuse of water, of which we don't do a lot in South Africa, desalination, of which we also don't do a lot, and off-grid water. So if you can get standardized procedures for involving private companies in those areas helping municipalities, then I think it is a win-win for everybody.
And are the municipalities coming on board?
The six biggest metros are currently working with the water office, Water Partnership Office to employ some of those programs in their areas. Yes, and I think, you know, success breeds success. Once you've had two or three places where they can show a demonstrable improvement, you will find other people also coming along.
This will have a political impact, not so?
In what way?
If you have demonstrable success, then it looks good for the municipality.
It looks good for the municipality, absolutely. And that's the only thing that the municipalities has got to get their mind around. It is quite possible, as in Bombela and on the Dolphin Coast, you rent your infrastructure out. The infrastructure belongs to the municipality. It's their asset. It's their thing. Rent it out, charge a fee for it, regulate the price at which that private entity can sell the water. You don't want to lose that. And take a part of the equitable portion and pay that over to the service provider to provide water to poor people. So you really can do everything which is required, but you do it through a different operator, not a municipality. Yes, it can have a big impact.
There's also another brand new animal called the National Water Resource Infrastructure Agency. Who are they and what do they do?
Yeah, I call it the three-in-one agency because they combine three functions which are currently handled by different people. The first one is they take the functions of the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, which its name belies what it does. The Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority is responsible for raising money on the capital market for bulk water projects. And that is what they've done for many years now. So this function will go into the National Water Agency, raising capital. The second thing is, in the Department of Water, there's a water trading entity. They sell water from the various dams to the seven water boards and from the water boards onto municipalities. That trading of water, collecting the money, making sure everybody pays what they have to pay, that will go into the Water Resource Agency, the three-in-one agency. And lastly, the department's infrastructure branch, engineers and technical people responsible for overseeing the dams. Now, what this reorganization doing is this. It takes the dams and the distribution systems, which has got a value. You build a dam, it costing millions or billions of rands. It's a real asset. That asset is generating money. You sell water, the income comes in. You take that and you put it on the balance sheet of the agency. Now the agency has got assets, a balance sheet, against which they can go and borrow more money from banks and insurance companies and so on to build more dams and to build more water systems. It's quite a clever way of overcoming the fact that government itself, the taxpayer, doesn't have enough money to pay for bulk water provision. It works very well in, for example, the case of national roads. We've got SANRAL, the National Road Agency, and if you travel through the country, all you have to do is compare a national road to a provincial road or a municipal road, and you can't believe the difference. And that's what they do. National roads belong to the National Road Agency. There's an income against it, against tolls. You take that income and a balance sheet, you go to the bank, you borrow money, and you can build more roads. It's exactly the same idea with water. That legislation has been signed by the president, and they're busy setting it up. And the target date to get it going is the beginning of the financial year in 2026.
So what, if you have to summarize all of this?
I think this first, though, what is this? A lot is been happening and has happened, especially around bulk water supply. And again, Appendix A give a lot of detail, not all of it, it's not exhaustive, but it paints a picture of that something is being done about the fact that we need more bulk water supply. That's not the area that I would be very worried about. The two areas where we actually need huge in progress is on the distribution side, on the municipality side, in respect of non-revenue water, as well as poor maintenance. If we can sort just those two things out, it will make a real difference to the lives of ordinary people. It's maintenance and non-revenue water. To achieve those two things, and that's the third so what, is we've got to make legislative changes, and those changes are now in process. So it's not something that will happen, it's something that is happening. We also have changes in the regulations, for example, around not paying the equitable share of municipalities if they fall in arrears with their payments. So there are administrative, legislative, regulatory changes taking place to deal with those two big problems. And in it comes down to local government and local municipalities. They have to step up and improve their performance. And the only way that you can really force them is you can do legislation and you can do regulations and so on, and that's being done. But in the end, it is the voters that must decide who must run the water system in their municipality. They have to exert the pressure on councillors and on municipalities. So let's hope that with the local government elections, that voters will step up and deliver a lesson to their councillors.
Thank you very much. You will find two extra sections in the written version of this newsletter. The first is the appendix that JP has referred to. That's not a complete list of projects, but it gives an indication that as far as bulk water supply is concerned, a lot has been done. But then there's a second extra page, which is an executive summary, an overview of all this information. Thank you for listening to the So What podcast. If you enjoy this content, please don't forget to leave a review and a rating, and please consider subscribing so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, tell your friends. Remember, you can find a written version of all JP's content at jplandman.co.za.